You talked to your dad recently?
Why?
Give us a call.
So where did you appear from? Oklahoma?
I've never been anywhere but here.
What were you doing with that big girl?
Get a lot of crazy ass foreigners mostly. How's it going, guys?
This here's Jackie.
Hi.
She needs a job. Says she'll do anything.
Yeah, you like guns?
Not really.
What the fuck you doing here then? I'm a bit more powerful than a punch, huh?
Fuck yeah.
Call me when it's done.
What is this place? Huh?
You don't understand. Get back in the car.
They found a body.
Looks like you've got your hands full.
You'll regret this.
We'll just need to fight back. I'm gonna tell them everything you ever did.
FBI, open up.
Are you threatening me?
Yep.
Well, that was really stupid, honey.
I'll never fall in love, okay?
Welcome to the Strange Harbors podcast, a weekly discussion of film, television, and pop culture. My name is Jeff Zhang, and tonight I'm joined by...
Amir Ture.
And Derek Wong.
So this week we are reviewing director Rose Glass's sophomore feature after 2019's Saint Maud, Love Lies Bleeding, a violent lesbian revenge thriller starring Kristen Stewart, Katie O'Brien, Jenna Malone, Dave Franco, Anna Baryshnikov, and Ed Harris. This movie came out, I believe, 2 weeks ago, and it is one of my most anticipated movies of the year. I really loved 2019's Saint Maud. It actually made it to my 2020 honorable mentions list. That was a weird year because it was the pandemic. So a lot of great 2019 releases got pushed into the early 2020 slate. It was kind of a weird year to do a top 10, and Saint Maud made it in there. So I was really excited for Rose Glass's second movie. I actually saw this in Texas during South by Southwest. It wasn't part of their slate, but I took the time to go to the movie theater and go see this. What about you guys?
I just saw this when it came to my area this week.
Saw it opening weekend whenever it came out, so.
Are you familiar with Rose Glass, Derek?
I wasn't before this movie, but then I actually did go back and watch Saint Maud also.
Oh, oh interesting.
Nice. Very cool. Yeah, for me, I'm probably going to do the same. It's sort of a Julia Ducournau situation. Or you watch the second movie first and then go back and watch the first one. It's like I saw Titan first and then went back and watched Raw.
Did you like Saint Maud, Derek?
Yeah, I did. I see very similar themes mm-hmm. in the way she approaches her movies, and it's really interesting seeing those juxtaposed. I do suggest if you want to watch Saint Maud, Amir, try to do it soon.
Yeah.
Got it. Yeah.
Very similar, maybe stylistically, but tonally very different movies, I think, where Saint Maud is a giant downer. You know what I mean? If you haven't seen, I won't spoil it, but it is a bleak, bleak movie where Love Lies Bleeding is a little something different. Before we get into the actual movie, I want to ask you guys something that's been going around about A24. Do you guys believe that A24 has a distinct aesthetic? Because people are like always talking about A24 like they're making these movies, but they're just a distributor. You know what I mean? Oh, get that A24 look for your independent film, and like, oh, A24 is always doing these types of movies. But I feel like it's kind of a misnomer that it has a distinct style. I think they're just a very, very good independent distributor. I don't know what you guys think about that.
I wasn't aware of this controversy, but I guess I gotta agree with you. I don't think that there's a house style or something. I guess just because they are not doing, I don't know, mass-produced Marvel movie stuff, just because they're doing indie, smaller, director-led, artist-led, auteur stuff. Not that all the movies have the same style so much as all the movies have a style, right?
Yeah. It's weird because you don't see people saying the same thing about, like, Neon or anything, and it's the same thing that way. You know what
That's
I mean?
True. I don't know. I don't have a good explanation for that.
Right off the bat, I can name so many movies that are just completely different in terms of aesthetic and style, and just because it's from the same distributor, they're independent films. People are like, oh, they're all the same. I can barely draw a line between Past Lives, Hereditary, and Everything Everywhere All at Once, right? Mm-hmm. What do you think, Derek?
No, I definitely agree with you guys. I mean, there is something to be said about it is a distributor, right? You can kind of see that they at least have a choice, right? Like, it's not like they pick up anything and everything. Sometimes it feels like it. But, I mean, maybe it is that they are searching for a certain kind of movie. I'm not saying that they're all the same, but clearly they're not searching for Marvel movies, right? They're not doing, like, superhero movies. I don't think they have a style, per se, but there is, when you see the A24 tag, not that I'm expecting a certain kind of movie, but I do get excited, right?
Yeah. There is a through line with their buying patterns, I think.
Yeah.
Just getting these exciting up-and-comer directors or...
Do you not get as excited when you see Neon, Derek? For example, just because Jeff used it earlier.
I mean, sometimes it's hard for me to distinguish what was a Neon movie versus an A24 movie. So, so in that regard, when I see Neon come up, I perk up. But to tell you the truth, I can't remember the last Neon movie I saw specifically. I probably saw something recently. I just can't remember it's Neon.
Anatomy of a Fall was?
Anatomy of a Fall. Okay, thank you. Yeah.
Anatomy of
Ferrari.
Yeah, okay. Yeah, no. Yeah.
And a bunch of movies we've loved over the past few years.
Yeah.
Pig, Titan, Possessor, Spencer, Parasite. Isn't Parasite Neon?
Oh, yes. Parasite is Neon. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, that's crazy.
Then yes, it also gets me excited to see Neon.
Or at least it will from now on.
Yeah.
I think they're just both good at buying movies, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
I will clarify this. Let's be honest. I don't actually remember if they're all A24 movies either. You know what I mean? It goes both ways.
Yeah.
Is this like a Happy Families Are All Alike type of deal?
Yeah. People just don't know the difference between a distributor and a actual studio, right? So, but anyway, Love Lies Bleeding. How are your theatrical experiences? Anyone jerking off in the theater like that one guy that went viral on That was crazy, dude.
No.
One, no. Two, it was just me and one other person.
Really?
I occasionally have some Fridays off.
Okay.
I just went in the middle of the day on a Friday, so it was bound to happen that it was going to be probably a pretty quiet screening.
Makes sense.
Yeah, mine was similarly quiet. I think I beat you by one. There was three of us in that theater. It wasn't as weird a time. Well, probably just as weird. It was a Wednesday afternoon, like 5 o'clock. That's also not exactly a prime time either, right?
Yeah, people are getting out of work then.
I went on a Wednesday night in Austin.
Hey!
And totally packed. I don't know if it was because that was the opening day in Austin.
It must have been.
During South by Southwest.
Yeah, I was going to say the South by Southwest of it probably is accounting for some.
All the cinephiles were in town, so I think everyone took the trek to that AMC to go see it. So, yeah. Full house, great energy to the crowd.
That's cool.
So, what did you guys think of the movie?
So, this was my first Rose Glass, and I really liked it. Like I said, I'm going to go back and see St. Maud off the strength of this one. This was really good. It was as good as the hype had led me to believe. I was excited for it because people have liked Rose Glass's work. People like Kristen Stewart. The trailer, what got me hype is the trailer was great. The trailer absolutely told you exactly what kind of movie this was going to be. If you like the vibes the trailer was putting out, you're going to love the movie. It totally delivers.
What about you, Derek?
I liked it too. Same as Amir. This is my first foray with Rose Glass, and I love the setting of the movie. I love this noir lesbian thriller / crime thriller. I will say that I don't know if I could say that it met the hype for me as much as maybe you, Amir. I was also very excited after the trailer. It was a great trailer, but I do think it goes, and I'm not specifically talking about just the ending. I think the last third go off the rails a little bit for me. I do have an issue with just some of the character choices, I think.
This is probably my favorite movie of the year so far. I just really, really loved it. And this thing moves like a rocket, for me at least. I was locked in from like the first 5 minutes. I thought this was like a shorter movie, but it's actually a decent length, right? It's like sub 2 hours.
Yeah.
But over 100 minutes. But this moved so quickly for me. I was locked in from the opening scene, and I love the performances in it. Kristen Stewart's great. I think Katie O'Brien's phenomenal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
This is like her big headliner role, and she crushed it physically, emotionally. There's just so many layers to this performance, and even the stuff that a lot of people don't like about it, the body horror stuff, the ending, I really liked too. I think it's body horror in a different mode than you're really used to. I think all the violence and the grime and the gore isn't from the body horror stuff. It's from the real life stuff that happened in this movie, right? The maneuvering around Lou's criminal family and all that stuff, and the stringy, nasty Ed Harris who's in this. It's good stuff. It's really good. And a pretty straightforward movie, too. I mean, should we give a little bit of a synopsis?
Sure.
So the movie centers around a reclusive gym manager named Lou, played by Kristen Stewart. And the whole movie takes place in 1989, so it's like a little bit of a period piece. And she happens to fall in love with this new in town bodybuilder named Jackie, played by Katie O'Brien. And both the lovers get pulled into violence and cover-ups when they collide with Lou's dangerous criminal family, I guess. So her dad is Ed Harris, her sister is played by Jenna Malone, and she also has an abusive brother-in-law played by Dave Franco. So that's basically what the movie is about. Like I said, pretty straightforward.
It's interesting. It is pretty straightforward, but it's also not entirely what I'd expected. I guess I thought that the Jackie was going to kind of get drawn deeper into Lou's family business and that it would kind of be about that.
Yeah.
And it sort of doesn't turn out to really be about that at all.
Certainly unexpected. So, I mean, Rose Glass says a lot of her influences come from the Wachowski sisters Bound, which we've mentioned on this podcast before. I love it. Have you guys seen it yet? No, right?
No,
I still haven't seen Bound.
You guys have to watch Bound. It's so good.
Well, the last Wachowski movie you recommended was that last Matrix movie, so I don't know if I trust your Wachowski-related recommendations.
Also a five-star banger, so fuck you. This is primarily a love story, and I really like how earnest and frank the relationship was portrayed. It was really refreshing. I really like this a lot.
I agree. I think the love story aspect is, for me, the strongest. I mean, you have to think back in like 1989, right? It wasn't the same as it was now. One being very, even for that time, atypical, like body type, right? And
yeah,
centering around both really strong women, but one literally being very strong.
Yeah.
I think all of that stuff works. I really love that aspect. And I think they have great chemistry together. Mm-hmm. And this mode for Kristen Stewart of being this, heard the word lesbian icon thrown around. I'm loving it. I'm loving seeing her in these kind of roles. I think she's great in Spencer. Probably not as good as what she was in Spencer, but this is still a great role for Kristen Stewart.
She's so good in this. And, you know, not to knock her or anything, I don't think she has a giant range, but she plays into the different facets of her, people say, twitchiness, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it's different in every movie. She's got that in Spencer. She's got that specifically in Crimes of the Future. She definitely has this here, too. Even in the underwater Lovecraft movie, Underwater, she has that, too. But they're all different, and she plays into, like, the different nooks and crannies of that neuroses really, really well, and I loved her in this, too.
Yeah, we've done a couple of her movies now, right? Because we also did Crimes of the Future.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? I've enjoyed her in everything we've seen.
Yeah. She doesn't have a huge part in that one, but very memorable. Tim Lin.
Very. Yeah.
Yeah. I think Katie O'Brien knocks it out of the park. Do you know how she got the part?
Did Rose Glass see her in Quantumania? No, I'm just kidding.
So I heard, is this right? Did she post about it?
She posted about it. So they were saying that Rose Glass was making a movie and it was a lesbian crime thriller starring Kristen Stewart, and it was a movie about a bodybuilder, but Kristen Stewart would not play the bodybuilder. So it was a tweet, and then Katie O'Brien tweeted underneath a picture of her at the gym getting all ripped, and she was like, I'm free. So I guess that led to negotiations, and she was cast in the movie.
That is awesome.
Pretty sick.
That's actually insane. Really cool. Good for her.
I'm just saying she was on the up and up because she was in The Mandalorian and Ant-Man and the Wasp, Quantumania, which we won't really talk about.
And she's going to be in Twisters. So
yeah, she's going to be in Twisters. Yeah,
I'm excited. I'm excited for her year. All right. Well, okay. Let me get into, I guess, then the thing I was talking about earlier with character choices. The last third, the crime element really comes in. Who's double-crossing who? Who's manipulating who? Who's killing who? I don't know. I guess for me, I was kind of like rooting for this love story. Essentially, it still is a love story by the end. But the more and more it plays out, the more and more you realize that Kristen Stewart's character is a terrible person.
Well, they're all not good people. And that's kind of what I like about the movie.
There's a difference between like people that are flawed or not good people. But she's terrible. She's evil. She's, I think, as smart as her father, right? And she has no problem killing people. She has no problem dumping bodies.
I wouldn't go that far. I would say she has no problem doing it. She does do it, but she's not a gleeful killer. She's not like fucking Hannibal Lecter over here.
Do we want to talk about the very last scene of this movie?
You want to go straight to the end?
Oh, I don't want to go straight to the end.
That's fucking dark, dude.
I know. That's what I'm saying. I don't know. For me, it was... I know this doesn't always bother everyone. And for me, it was just... She's, you know, not a good person. And it's kind of hard to, like, root for her in this movie when I know it's not just a flaw. We all have flaws. She's kind of evil.
You didn't immediately root for her just like based on the situation? Like,
you're I do.
Her relationship and like her scumbag dad and her scumbag brother-in-law. Like, I feel like even though she's also a criminal, the scales are super tilted in her favor, I felt.
No, I mean, yes, she's thrown into this situation, right? Like, she tried to escape it by running this gym and not being part of her dad's business anymore. But I don't know. By the end, it showed her true colors.
Is it just the very end for you, or?
Well, no, it's the dumping of the bodies and then that very final scene.
Yeah, I didn't really get that she was so awful. I think they're both flawed and damaged people, you know? And to portray these two characters having this earnest kind of love between them that's blossoming is very, very interesting. I want to bring this to a very weird comparison, but to compare to something like Past Lives, you know, where everyone's such a good person that you don't really get any tension in a movie like that. I still love Past Lives, don't get me wrong, but I think the point of that movie is that everyone's so sweet and good to each other, and it's about how people can be so good and have heartache and misconnections and regrets. Here it's like these damaged people who do fucked up things for each other and to each other, and love can still prevail in a situation like that. I really, really dug that. And, you know, this goes back to like the body horror aspect, where when you watch body horror stuff, it's typically gross and disgusting and really gets to the darkest natures of the human experience. But here it's like representing something a little more pure and uplifting than that, right? And that's definitely something that you never see, I feel.
So when you're talking about body horror, what are you exactly talking about?
All the body horror stuff, you know, when she's hulking out.
Okay.
When she vomits out Kristen Stewart at the bodybuilding competition in that nasty cocoon.
Would it have been worse if Kristen Stewart kept vomiting herself out?
like in men?
Like in men. No,
I don't think that would have made sense, but...
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
Now that you've clarified, then yes, I do agree. I specifically want to focus on the hulking out of the Katie O'Brien character. I loved all of that. I love that it's this tease that we get throughout this movie. The sound design behind it, I think, is great. Veins are like contracting and like flexing, and it only leads until the end, right? When she hulks out and grows into this 30-foot woman. I love that. I love that aspect about this movie.
It's interesting that you say it's a tease or a setup, because as you're watching the movie, I had no idea that they were going to do that at the end. So I didn't see it as a setup or a tease at all. I guess maybe in retrospect, but as I was watching it, I didn't see that angle.
When I was watching the movie and it was like making those sounds, is it like a sound? Do you think that's what that sounds like? Or that doesn't actually sound like that, right? When someone flexes physically, I could hear some kind of sound. Crunchy.
It's a Hulk out.
Yeah. But you're right. It's kind of a retrospective thing, right? Felt like something after the fact that, yeah, maybe I made that connection.
It's funny that you say that, because I think you're not quite sure what it symbolizes until the end, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
During the movie, when she's, you know, injecting all the steroids and stuff and taking all the performance-enhancing drugs, you're like, oh, what does this mean? Is it her darker nature prevailing? Like, she's giving into this roid rage. And by the end of the movie, it becomes clear that, you know, it's her love for Lou, you know, coming out in this manifestation of her as this giantess, right? Which is pretty interesting. I really do like that and how that crystallizes over the movie.
Yeah, I find it also interesting. I've read some people's interpretation. They kind of knock the movie or they criticize the movie because they think that's actually happening. I mean, in my mind, that's not actually happening. For me, it's just that's how Lou is seeing her in that moment. It's a little bit of a fantasy. But then it was kind of interesting watching something like, say, Maud. That one does really play with, is this really happening? There's questions of what you're seeing in that movie. Is it really happening? I found watching those two movies side by side was interesting.
I mean, St. Maud has the religious aspect to it, too, which mm-hmm. further fuels the apparitions in that movie, you know? So
it's interesting that you bring up the religion. I mean, like, I think that there are weirdly religious aspects to this movie, too. I mean, I think the idea of people that are dedicated to the gym, like, she's dedicated to her body. Right? It's almost like a religion to her, I think.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's interesting the themes that Rose Glass is playing with in both these movies.
And Katie O'Brien got ripped for this movie.
So how jacked is she normally, I guess? You know what I mean? Like,
she was always jacked.
That's what I'm thinking, yeah.
Because when she was on The Mandalorian, she played that officer who was pretty jacked, right?
Yeah.
She was pretty muscular in that role, too. So I think she just amped this up and hit the gym real hard for it. She looks really muscular in this movie. And I love the scene where Lou sees her for the first time at the gym. Just a great moment of being knocked flat on your ass by someone so powerful and beautiful, I guess, you know?
Yeah.
I love all that stuff.
Really good.
And I don't know why the focus was so much on the sex scenes. This was not like anything egregious. And it kind of surprised me that someone was caught with their pants down at the theater and was made such a big deal. When you would think something like Poor Things would be way more deserving of that status. I mean, there's a certain frankness to the sex scenes in here that you don't really see that often, especially between two women. But I didn't think it was crazy or anything. I certainly felt the chemistry between the two characters, you know, and the two actresses.
Yeah. Can we talk a little bit about some of the other characters in this movie or some of the actors in this movie? I mean, I think Ed Harris is great as the dad.
I feel like half of it is just in his hair, man.
I was going to say, man, I love the wig game.
The wig game is just, man, it just makes him so fucking creepy.
Yeah.
What is that? It's not a mullet. It's like a skullet.
It's like a tonsure. It's like the thing a monk wears.
I call it the Benjamin Franklin look.
The Benjamin Franklin look, for sure.
He's bald in the center, right? Yeah. I like this Benjamin Franklin was too. Yeah. No, you're right.
It's a little bit more stringy. Like, the hair is more thin in the Ed Harris character. But yeah, that always kind of reminds me of like a old-timey president look. But yeah, I mean, he was like super creepy with the bugs and the hair and just the way he stares at Katie O'Brien's character and the way his character looms.
It's a very peculiar character. You would expect him as the criminal foil of the movie to be a complete piece of shit. And he's got more depth to him than you would think in a movie like this. You do see the tenderness he has for his family and his daughter, and like, he's willing to go out on a limb and protect her in his own fucked up way.
I don't know about that. I feel like he's protecting himself with that move. Yeah, I don't know if I buy that part.
I don't buy that if he really loved his daughters and was really protecting him, it would have never gotten to the point where DeFranco would have lived beyond the first time he assaulted his wife, right?
Right.
Yeah,
right.
Okay, that's right. True. That's true.
And then he does send a hitman to kill the other daughter, right, Lou? So
Yeah. Okay, that's fair. I just didn't find him to be a complete unrepentant piece of shit, like, throughout the whole movie. You know what I mean? Where I thought they would really play up how fucked up he is. And, you know, he is in the end, but I was a little surprised, that's all. But let's talk about JJ's character, Dave Franco. Like, he's the real piece of shit in this movie, and he gets his comeuppance like no other in this. That is the big gore moment in the movie, and it's unbelievable.
It hits.
The Katie O'Brien character beats the shit out of him. It's mostly, you don't really see what's happening. You see her, like, banging his head against the table, but It's not until you see the after effects, right? That's when you understand the horror of what she did in her roid rage. So I thought that was very effective.
Yeah, it reminds me of that poker scene, that fire poker scene from Possessor. You remember that?
Yeah, yeah.
How brutal that was. Yeah, this
probably not quite as bad as that. That was probably one of the worst things I've ever seen, the fire poker. That's pretty bad. I feel you're going to have to really step it up to get to that level. All right.
Maybe not.
I could stomach this one, actually. It was okay.
Dude, his face all shattered. Yeah. It's brutal.
It takes a lot for me to, like, look away for these movies. I'll watch anything, but... Oh, the fire poker and Possessor's, like... They don't cut away from anything in that. It was fucking nasty.
You know what? I got one for you in this movie, Jeff. I can handle Dave Franco dismembered head. I can handle girl getting shot in the head. I can handle most of the stuff in this movie. The one thing I felt like I couldn't handle is when Katie O'Brien stuck that needle between her toes. Do you remember?
Oh,
you
guys? I don't think it's that bad.
Dude, for some reason, that really triggered me. I was like, oh my God, I can't take this. I don't know why. Seeing a needle go in that place, I'm like, no, don't do that.
But it's just between the toes, no? It wasn't like...
Yeah, it's just between the toes.
Yeah, no, I've never had anything stuck between my toes like that. I'm sorry, no.
Clearly not doing enough steroids.
I guess not. I don't. Sorry. I'm used to seeing steroids, in the arm or in the butt, not in between the toes.
I've seen that before, even in movies, right? Like, have you seen Steven Soderbergh's Traffic?
Oh, maybe I don't remember that.
Because I remember Erica Christensen's character shoots up heroin in that way. So I think that's how a lot of drug users do drugs, especially like hard drugs like heroin, you know? But this is just steroids. I get you, though. Especially if you've never seen anything like that, right?
Or not remembering if I've ever seen anything like that.
Yeah. But yeah, this movie's just something. The pacing's good. I really like the pacing of this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I agree with you. It goes like a rocket. It's really fun the whole way through. Well, maybe fun is the wrong word. No, I think it's fun. But it sort of feel bad at the same time. I don't know.
Yeah.
I actually, for me, it's interesting that you guys thought that it would turn into this Katie O'Brien getting pulled into the crime thing. I thought it was more going to be an actual bodybuilding movie where we were going to actually see more gym stuff, more body.
Pumping iron.
Like
and
pumping
shit.
Iron stuff. So like, I actually really enjoyed the scene.
Yeah, you get a little bit of that.
You get a little bit. But when she actually goes to the competition in Vegas, you kind of see the results of her roid rage and everything. That was actually the movie I was expecting more of, but... I'm glad we got that stuff.
Oh, that's so interesting.
It actually makes me sad that we're not getting, not sad for this actor, but it actually makes me sad that we're not getting Magazine Dreams. That, what is his name? The guy who is now...
Jonathan Majors.
Jonathan Majors, yeah.
I've seen it.
Is it good?
It's all right.
Oh, okay. Well, maybe I'm not as excited. Yeah. I mean, I was looking forward to that.
I will say that he's really good in it. He's really, really good in it. Really commits to getting into that bodybuilder shape. And I think that movie goes more into what it's like to live that lifestyle of going to these competitions and doing all these ridiculous poses and getting that musculature. And it's wild. He literally transformed himself for that movie. And, you know,
no one's ever gonna
too bad the real life things he did kind of ruined that. So we got Love Lives Bleeding, we have Katie O'Brien. So the amount we got in this was good. I liked watching that too. I agree.
I do think it's interesting you expected it to be more of a bodybuilding movie. Because honestly, I was surprised she even ended up at the contest after all, after everything that happens to...
Yeah, after Lou tells her to stay put and...
Yeah, yeah.
I guess one of the other characters we haven't really mentioned is... It's her name Daisy, right? The one that is lusting after the Kristen Stewart Lou character.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a point where, you know, Katie O'Brien's character kills Dave Franco's character, and then Kristen Stewart finds it, and they are trying to drive his body off into the desert and dump it into a ditch. Mm-hmm. And Daisy sees them driving away, so she's kind of a witness to this situation. And she uses that as, like, blackmail to get sex out of Lou. But Ed Harris, being the father of the year, also knows this, so he sends Jackie after Daisy. And Jackie does kill Daisy, or we think she kills Daisy. And at the end of the movie, when Kristen Stewart and Jackie are driving away, Daisy's in the back of their truck, but she gets up almost like a zombie. This person that's come back to life, but then to only have Kristen Stewart choke her out and suffocate her and kill her anyway.
I mean, what are you going to do? In for a penny, in for a pound, right?
Yeah. I mean, this is the scene in particular that, I was talking about earlier. Kristen Stewart has no remorse, and really the decision she makes is that she has to kill this person. I think it's very funny. I thought it was a very funny scene.
And this plays out while the credits are rolling, which is even funnier. While the credits are rolling,
yeah.
I love that. It's really funny.
Jackie's asleep, and she's just dragged Daisy into the desert, and she's just, like, choking her and leaving her in the desert, so... I thought it was a very funny scene, but still, character-wise, it was just, for me, the drive was questionable.
And there's all these different emotions throughout this movie, too, because Anna Baryshnikov's Daisy, she's kind of this comic relief throughout this whole movie, where she's trying to get with Lou, and Lou's always trying to make excuses, and it's played off as very, very funny, but it's also very sad, because she ends up being the innocent casualty in all this, you know?
Mm-hmm.
The whole movie is about the things that we do for the people that we love. And in the end, it's Kristen Stewart who, like I said, in for a penny, in for a pound, kills her in the back of the truck. So I don't actually think that bothers me that much. I think thematically it works. And I think it says something that Jackie's still asleep in that scene. You know, that she doesn't even have any awareness that Lou's doing that for her. It didn't bother me as much.
No, it fucked up, but I think it was appropriate and certainly fit.
I mean, I think naturally for the character, like, she has no other choice also, right? Or she doesn't really have many choices in this situation. Is there anything else you guys wanted to bring up?
I don't know. I feel like it's hard to fully get across the appeal of this movie. It's a fun watch. Recommend it, I guess. I don't know if there's anything else.
It's a great love story. I like it. It's beautiful. It's gross. A lot of different permutations of this movie that I appreciate it, and I keep thinking about it, so...
This is what popped into my head. Daisy reminds me a little bit of... Do you remember the Philip Seymour Hoffman character from Boogie Nights?
Boogie Nights? I was going to say
yes,
Boogie Nights.
Yes, yes, yes.
Daisy's a little bit like that.
Yeah.
Sort of like pathetic nakedness of her longing. It's mm-hmm. really good, actually.
Yeah. It's a good performance.
Daisy's quite sad, and also you can see why Lou is super annoyed with her, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, you get it. Yeah, that's a really great performance.
Yeah, even me with some of my issues, I still had a great time. I think Rose Glass is a great director / writer, and I'm looking forward to her next thing.
I got the new Nicole Kidman ad in front of this one.
There's a new one?
Yeah, you didn't know?
Well, okay. I'm in Sacramento. We don't have AMCs, and I'm very upset. It's weird. We're a major city that has no AMCs.
You don't have AMCs? You only have Regals?
We only have Regals and like Cinemarks and other chains. I don't have AMCs, so I don't get Nicole Kidman, and I don't get Dune Popcorn Cup, okay? So.
You only get the movie quotes thing.
Yes.
I would kill myself immediately.
Well, one, they got rid of that a while ago now.
What is it now? I haven't been to a Regal in forever.
Now it's nothing really special. It's just like...
Okay.
I can't even remember what it is. It's nothing special. They can't compete with Nicole Kidman. I've only ever got to see the Nicole Kidman thing once because I went to a theater in LA when I was visiting my parents.
Mm.
So what is the new one?
It's a little disappointing, actually. It's just pretty much the same, but they use like different movies on the screen now. I thought they like shot something brand new.
Mm.
And I think they just put in new footage of other movies and stuff that she's reacting to. It's a little disappointing, I'm not going to lie. Man, I've only been to a Regal a couple times, but every time that stupid movie quotes thing showed up, I left. Like, I cannot watch that.
It was not great, and they've gotten rid of it.
Thank God they got rid of it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. If that is all, I think that will conclude this week's episode. Jeff, where can people find more of your work?
You can find me on my blog at strangeharbors.com, and you can also find me on Twitter, Instagram, and Letterboxd at Strange Harbors. What about you guys?
You can find me shooting steroids between my toes.
And Derek won't be watching.
I will not be watching that.
I'll jab you in your toes if you do mine.
Everybody, that's love.
If you're not doing steroids with your podcast co-hosts, what are you doing?
I know. All right, well, you can find me at The Wrong Dick on Instagram and Letterboxd. But if you liked this podcast, the easiest way to support our show is to subscribe where you get your podcast, whether it be Apple, Spotify, or any of the other popular apps. If you are listening to us on Apple or Spotify, please do us a favor and give us a great rating. It really helps to get our voices out to more people.
Yeah, if you have any questions, comments, suggestions on our episode on Rose Glass's Love Lies Bleeding, feel free to shoot us an email. We like getting listener mail. Sometimes we read it on the pod. And with that, we will see you guys next week.
See you next week, everybody.
See you guys then.